Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take, and this week we're talking about Traveling While Black, an immersive exhibit at Georgia Tech's First Center for the Arts. The exhibition is set up in the open spaces on either side of the lobby. A limited number of guests are allowed to view the short documentary with goggles and headphones. The story of the Green Book and one of its locations in Washington, D.C., the historic Ben's Chili Bowl, is part of the immersive experience. The Green Books were produced throughout the 40s and 50s, and they allowed Black African-American citizens to traverse the country safely. Even though our community members could buy cars, we might not be able to buy gas or buy food or use the facilities in many places. The Green Books included places to be avoided, including sundown towns, rural areas, and small municipalities in the north, south, and east and west in our country. I reached out to Professor Demchuk, who is the official historian of Ben's Chili Bowl, to discuss the exhibit. Professor Demchuk, welcome to The Local Take.
Thank you, Kiplin, and it's such a thrill to be with WCLK. I used to listen to you all the time when I was in Atlanta. I love your jazz. I love your information. And, of course, I love Morehouse Spelman and Clark Atlanta and all the other great universities down there. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm happy that you were available. Can you tell us how you came to be the official historian for Ben's Chili Bowl and why a historian is needed at that landmark location?
You know, that's such a good question. And I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that Ben's Chili Bowl has the only PhD professor minted historian of any restaurant in America. And if anybody can find a difference to that, please let me know. But we in Washington, D.C., right just five blocks away from Howard University, we consider ourselves a very important hub for African-American history and culture. And Ben's Chili Bowl has always been ground zero for Black history and culture in D.C. And so I've been going to Ben's Chili Bowl since 1967. That's a long time ago. So you can do the math and you can figure out how old I am. Ben's Chili Bowl has always been a center for African-American cultural and historic expression. It has been a safe place, much like what the Green Book has been advertising, safe places for African-Americans to travel and to visit. So Ben's Chili Bowl has always been the hub of Washington, D.C. civil rights movement. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee was across the street from Ben's Chili Bowl, which I was a member of. So when I would go to the SNCC office, we would always go across the street at Ben's to eat. Ben's Chili Bowl is on the Black Broadway where the Howard Theater is, the Lincoln Theater. Ben's Chili Bowl is a few blocks down from Dr. King's SCLC headquarters. It was around the corner from the Poor People's Campaign office. It was a launching space for Jesse Jackson's 84 campaign for president. I can go on and on. But Ben's has this historical moment to it, but it's not just the history, it's the culture. It's the people, it's the language, it's the fashion, and of course, it's the food. So Ben's, I've been Ben's historian for the last 25 years, making sure that its papers, its photos, its history and culture is preserved forever and ever. Now, you all have a very famous restaurant down there, which was very much a part of the civil rights movement, and that's Pascal's. And I used to go to Pascal's all the time back in the day in the civil rights movement. And I don't know if Pascal's has its own historian, but maybe it should.
Maybe it
should.
Anyway,
that's the answer to your question. And let me just say that all of these great historic African-American restaurants, you know, you got Dookie Chase's down in New Orleans. You got Sylvia's up in Harlem. You got Dookie Chase down in Treme in New Orleans. These are important places to make sure that history inside those restaurants is preserved. So I encourage Pascal's to have its own historian and maintain that history.
I agree. So the Traveling Wild Black exhibit places participants inside Ben's Chili Bowl. You're sitting at the booth and you are speaking with the founder and other guests. Do you know how the participants came to be included in the documentary? How were they chosen?
Well, they were chosen because they are regulars at Ben's Chili Bowl. We know them. And SNCC's Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee headquarters was across the street. So the SNCC people who live in D.C., they still come to Ben's all the time. So Dr. Frank Smith, who was in Mississippi during the movement, Cortland Cox, who was in Mississippi and Alabama, Reverend Sandra Butler Truesdale, very active in the civil rights movement. Ben's Chili Bowl is a very active place where a lot of people go very frequently. And a lot of the former civil rights leaders during the movement of the 60s and 70s always go to Ben. So it was easy to get them. I knew my SNCC friends, Cortland Cox and Dr. Frank Smith and Reverend Sandra Butler Truesdale. They always go to Ben's, and they were a natural to ask to be part of the film. Plus the executive producer, Bonnie Schwartz, and of course the Ben's Chili Bowl's matriarch, Virginia Ali. She knows all of these people. So we all got together with the director, Roger Ross Williams, and we decided who to put in because they were all very articulate and very knowledgeable about the Green Book.
Now, before you immerse yourself into the documentary, they've got, you know, kind of like ushers who let you know that you might become uncomfortable. And while I didn't expect it to happen to me, there were a couple of times that I did, you know, close my eyes at a few points. I just, you know, I didn't want to see some of the things. Was it essential for that feeling of discomfort to be part of this experience?
I do believe so. I believe that staying too comfortable, we don't grow enough. And I think being uncomfortable, and particularly in uncomfortable conversations, we get smarter. Uncomfortable experiences, we learn empathy. From uncomfortable visuals, we get more knowledge. I mean, think about being an athlete. You can't be a great athlete unless your body is uncomfortable. You have to push yourself. And it's not only the body, you have to push your mind, you have to push your spirit, you have to push your knowledge base. And so, yeah, sometimes uncomfortable makes you smarter and better and more empathetic. And, you know, it's very hard to, one of the hardest things to experience and to learn about is lynching. And of course, the Middle Passage from West Africa to the Caribbean. These are horrible, horrible experiences. And it's hard to see. It's hard to know. But quite frankly, if we don't know these things, we forget. And if we forget, it's easy to allow them to come back. So I think being uncomfortable in that virtual reality and uncomfortable in that museum that you have down there, looking at those images and understanding that history, it makes us stronger, it makes us smarter, we learn more, and that gives us an opportunity to both heal and to grow together. So I think uncomfortable is a good thing.
Now, you know, thankfully, as part of this exhibition, there is a reflection area. So there's a place where you can go and kind of decompress from what you've seen. And at the first center, people are invited to share or write down their thoughts, you know, immediately following the participation. Why is that part of the exhibition and why was that important?
Oh, I think writing down your thoughts and your experiences and your emotions is very important. I think it's liberating. I think it allows you to get rid of those emotions and to organize them and to put them down. You know, when you write, when you write something, you have to carefully reflect when you put pen to paper and when you etch out those letters and words. That's a record of who you are. And so you got to be careful when you write. And when you are careful, you're also trying to have other people understand your feelings and emotions. And you create a record, and it allows you to, quite frankly, free yourself. Because if you just keep those emotions inside, and if you don't do something constructive with them, it could lead to depression. It could lead to anger. So I think writing is actually very liberating. It makes you smarter. It makes you stronger, and it helps you act right. And if you know what's right, you can act right. And I think writing is part of that. And I think that was one of the reasons that we wanted people to write their reflections and their emotions, because it makes them better, and it liberates them, quite frankly.
That was one of the better experiences in the exhibit, where you could see what mm-hmm. other people, you know, had gotten from their participation.
Well, you know, that's a very important point, because rather than what I've encouraged people to do, rather than just start writing, I encourage people to read first. So read as much as you can what other people have written, and learn from them, and organize your own emotions and your own thoughts before you put pen to paper, because it's your record, and you want it to reflect a sincere and a knowledgeable experience that you've had in that exhibit. And by the way, I just congratulate you and the radio station and Georgia Tech for doing this, because this is really important. We're hoping that this will travel around the United States over and over and over again, because everybody needs to see this and do the writing and reflect, because it's important. So I just congratulate you all for what you're doing down there.
So now, there was some thought that once the green books were no longer needed, that Black citizens in the United States would be free to travel as they wanted, you know, but as one visitor to Ben's Chili Bowl expressed, it's like now the green book is in your head. You know, we know where we're not mm-hmm. welcome, and we know where we shouldn't go, or, you know, where we shouldn't be at different times. You know, what does that say about what freedom is in our country?
You know, the irony of the car, especially in the 1950s and 60s, the car was the symbol of freedom. You know, Chuck, nobody did the car better than Chuck Berry. This is why history is not just history is important, but culture is important. Chuck Berry talked about the car and how liberating it was. And when African Americans had good jobs and they developed into the middle class and they were able to buy a car, and the cars were good-looking cars, and they were strong cars and clean, and they took off to be free. Well, they weren't free, obviously, certainly not in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. You had hostile police out there who saw African-Americans in a very nice, clean car. They pulled them over simply for driving in a nice, clean car. The hostility that existed certainly in the South, in those sundowner towns, it was horrible. It was racist. It was vicious. And it led often to jail, sometimes killings, and sometimes lynching. Well, guess what? Driving while Black today is dangerous for certain people, particularly African-Americans and particularly African-American males. So how far have we really come? Well, obviously, we've come quite far, but we still have so much more, so much further to go. And freedom is just a constant struggle. We always got to be vigilant to make sure we're free. So, yeah, there are places you got to be so super careful driving through certain cities, certain neighborhoods, and certainly certain areas of Georgia, if you will, Atlanta, and all over the American countryside. You know, I don't think I have to tell anybody listening to this show that we've got some white supremacists out there who are continually trying to bring us, drag us back to the 1940s and 50s. Those Proud Boys, those Oath Keepers, those people who want to literally start a race war. There's an organization called The Base that's based in Georgia, out in the countryside. It's training people to start a race war. And these are white supremacists that are still out there. This is a constant struggle to be free. And it's a constant struggle to find safe haven in places where African Americans and other people, particularly Muslims, particularly women, Latinos, they need to be safe and free. And so this is a constant struggle. And this is what the Traveling While Black exhibit helps people understand. And it's I think that every student, every faculty member, every staff member at Georgia Tech should be going to this exhibit and afterwards writing about it and talking about it.
Well, Professor Demchuk, I want to thank you for your contribution to this exhibition, Traveling While Black. And we do want to encourage our listeners and everyone to participate in this immersive experience. Professor Bernard Demchuk, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kipling.